Happy to welcome back to the program Pat Ronan from Father Bill's in Mainspring for a springtime update of what's going on at the Yawkey Housing Resource Center and more. So, Pat, great to see you again.
Good to see you, Joe. Yeah. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Last time, I think it was just before the holidays. We were talking more about holiday needs and things, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of start the season with an update on other things that are happening.
For sure. Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity to share, and certainly there's been a lot going on the local level, state level, and of course the federal level since December.
Since we last
talked.
So we've
got a lot to talk about, so thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, sure. Happy to do it. It's an open door, too. Please come over anytime. But
I'll be back tomorrow, then. So, I'm just
kidding. That's okay. before we talk about any of that, how did the holidays go, by the way?
It was great. Yeah. I mean, we're always, you know, it's humbled by the community response, not only with the number of volunteers that come out and donate meals and really think about our services during the holidays, but also the fundraising. You know, as it gets colder, generally that end of the year fundraising campaign is our biggest push.
Yep.
And, you know, we rely on that public support in the private donations to keep our mission going, to make sure that we can continue to open our shelter to anyone in need and have overflow spots. That isn't possible without support from private individuals and companies. So this was another strong year and has allowed us to you know, keep up with what has been a sharp increase in demand for our services.
Right, and also to launch the new center in Brockton not too long ago, right?
Yes, yeah. I should have learned my time here in Quincy is you don't put a date or a season even for opening a facility because
people will hold you to it.
People will ask again, and you'll have to change it.
Right.
So I think when we last talked, we were probably aiming for early 2025.
Yes.
So we're a couple weeks away. So like really. Occupancy permit is happening this week, okay. And so we'll be moving guests into the new Brockton Housing Resource Center May 1st. That week we'll be opening that up. That's called the Smith Family Housing Resource Center, and Yawkey Hall is the housing.
Oh, okay.
So very excited that Quincy sort of led the way in this new model, and Brockton's next, and then we'll be looking at potentially opening a Plymouth Housing Resource Center.
Really?
On a smaller scale than Quincy and Brockton, but there is a need. And so we're really proud that Quincy was where it started in terms of creating this model that we've been getting visits and inquiries from the city of Worcester, has visited a bunch of times because they're looking at a day center of their own. Amherst is replicating our model. Officials from Lowell have reached out to John Yaswinski. And then we've had providers in Indiana, Maryland, officials from Wichita, Kansas were out for a conference and they toured. They wanted to see our model and they hadn't really seen anything like it where all three of the components were located in the same place, the shelter, the day center, and the housing. So we're proud that you know, Quincy's led the way on many initiatives and that with kind of reframing how we address homelessness, we are once again.
Yeah, wraparound services is the term, right? So really not just providing a place for them to sleep at night, but really trying to prevent them from becoming homeless, first of all, right? And then if they do find themselves in that situation, to give them enough services to get out of that situation.
Yeah, totally. Wraparound supports, like, it's a holistic approach to a housing crisis. So it's not as simple as someone can't make rent or someone becomes homeless. There's usually a number of factors that contribute to the homelessness. Obviously, the cost of living, the lack of affordable housing is the main driver in why we're seeing so many people come to our doors. But really, those other factors, whether it's someone needing some financial literacy courses, you know, some workforce development, help writing a resume and applying for jobs, you know, opening up a bank account.
Sure.
All the different things that, you know, many of us might take for granted, but they're such key steps in finding a stable housing situation.
Yeah.
We're going to be, we do offer that on a daily basis by partnering with local community organizations where that's their specialty. We're a rehousing organization. We can help provide the shelter. and then get people rehoused. All those ancillary issues, you know, we have the experts come in and we host it on site. You know, we have AA and NA meetings take place. We have great partnerships with Quincy Police. The city of Quincy, they lead some technology courses to help people become a bit more proficient, because it's hard to exist in the world now without a little bit of know-how on the computer.
So. For sure, yeah. And the great health services from Manic Community Health Center, right? Right on site.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That is, I mean, the link between homelessness and health and well-being is, I think, becoming clearer by the day. And that, you know, the number of people who are showing up at an ER, and one of the main factors that a lot of these ERs are saying is that, well, housing instability is one of the factors with that visit to the ER.
Yes.
So it was a no-brainer that when we were going toward this housing resource center, we needed a healthcare component, and Manit, of course, has been on the front lines working with our most vulnerable neighbors here in the Quincy area for a long time.
Sure. Now, the permanent housing aspect, Pat, of Yawkey, is that full now?
It is.
It is full.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was a unique funding mechanism for that housing, which created a bit more administrative work on our end.
Yeah.
We had all the tenants lined up even before they opened, but it's really what a lot of people don't know about housing someone who's in our programs is, like, there's a lot of paperwork for certain funding sources, and so that means, like, tax returns and a lot of forms of identification that if you're experiencing homelessness, if you've been sleeping on the street for the last 5 years, tracking down a lot of those materials is very difficult.
Sure.
So that's our staff. It's not just supporting the person and finding housing, but it's also navigating the administrative functions that exist across our state, and
looking at city halls for birth certificates, right? Things like that, the registry of motor vehicles for driver's license information, stuff like that. So they're a little detective work, really.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a shuttle transportation at the Housing Resource Center, and one of the key stops is like is an essential documents stop where, and that's what we look at, is like, what do you need? If you're a veteran, you need some proof of service, and like, if you're looking to get health insurance or qualify for disability benefit, it can be really daunting to start that work. We've all been through it, whether it's your cable bill or an insurance claim. It's a lot. You almost need to take a day off from work.
It's a full-time
to
job.
Do it.
Yes, for sure.
And so now our staff is really helping clear that barrier, so getting housed or maybe getting access to benefits or medical care is a lot easier.
Yeah. So how many permanent residents now at the center?
30.
30.
At the Yawkey Housing Resource Center housing. Yep.
Okay. How about your overflow shelter? What's the current kind of population?
It was up big time this winter.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, last time we spoke, it was like right at the beginning of the winter, and we saw the increases. So even right now into April, we're seeing about 180 to 200 individuals per night.
Really?
In Quincy alone.
Wow.
That's about a 25 to 30% increase over last year.
Yeah. That's enormous. That's an enormous increase. That's not
it
just
is.
A couple of people. That's huge, yeah.
And we're seeing a similar increase down in Brockton, and in Plymouth as well. The demand has gone up. So actually, you know, statewide, you know, we're seeing the stories about homelessness on the rise across the country, across the state. Fortunately, the state offered some overflow winter grant funding opportunities. So we've been able to, because as we've discussed before, our overflow protocol in Quincy is that we have a dining hall that we convert into, we put mats on the ground, and when we have too many we reach our occupancy limit, we turn it into a warming center, where literally dozens of people have to sit at
just
the table.
Sit, right? Yeah.
So we were able to secure a handful of hotel rooms for that overflow, for the most vulnerable.
Yes.
You know, if it's a senior with a disability or someone who's really, really, you know, particularly vulnerable to maybe a closed setting like that, having to sit down all night, we were able to secure some overflow fundings, which will help us get to the summer.
Yeah. Now, have you been able to identify any causes for the sharp increase?
I mean, what we're seeing really is it's the housing
cost of living.
Cost of living. Yeah. I mean, I just saw a report that the gap, as they there was a report by the National Low Income Housing Coalition called The Gap that they release every year, where it shows housing opportunities for the extremely low incomes in our country. So those earning less or at 30% of area median income, which is the population we serve. They're our poorest neighbors. Oftentimes you hear about 80% AMI or 50% AMI. That's low income, but it's also closer to the median income.
Okay.
We're serving that 0 to 30%.
Right.
People with, you know, maybe no income, part-time job, you know, collecting Social Security, retirement.
Right. Yep.
Anyways, the report found that only 44 out of every 100 extremely low-income household has access to what's considered affordable and available housing. Less than half. And that's down from 46 last year. And so that trend that we see at the state level, we're seeing at the national level too, that ultimately there's just not enough housing for people who are very low income.
Yeah.
I mean, I think any middle income, higher income, I think everyone would agree that housing is very competitive and the costs are ridiculous.
It's a struggle, yeah. But it's doable at least, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and you can be cost burdened, but are you severely cost burdened or are you at the point where you have to make a decision between paying rent and paying, you know, for your groceries or your kids' childcare?
Right.
Those are the decisions that some people are having to make. Yeah, that's the biggest factor. We obviously were a few years out from the pandemic, and there were a lot of protections that came into place during COVID that have phased out. And I think we're seeing sort of the ripple effect of those being phased out. And it wasn't going to happen overnight because you had people who maybe were then staying with friends or family. And, you know, now, you know, that's where you see shelters are the the last safety net for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and we're seeing, are you seeing, it was a report not too long ago about migrants in the state family shelter system decreasing. Are you seeing that manifest itself at the Yawkey Center?
Yeah, I mean, Quincy never, the Yawkey Housing Resource Center never had a large group of individual adults who are migrants coming in. You know, we saw more in Brockton. It's certainly a higher Haitian community in terms of share population in Brockton. So the numbers were much higher in Brockton. So I think what we're really seeing is a decrease on the family side because there have been an investment in resources on the state level to help people get rehoused
as a family unit.
And some limitations, some, you know, some stay limits. So some real incentives to get people rehoused. Whereas on the individual side, we're not seeing those numbers go down because, and this has kind of always been the case, is that the individual shelters do get support from the state, but in our case, we're relying on private funds to stay afloat. So we're never in a position where we're like, oh, we have exactly the amount of funding we need.
Right, yeah.
We're kind of keeping up with demand.
Seeing as we're on the topic of funding, we do have to talk about the current climate at the federal level and how it's impacting social service agencies across the board, really, including places like Father Bill's, right? What are you anticipating, Pat, from the federal government at this point, you know, in this April 23rd, 2025, and how are you planning for that?
What am I anticipating? I don't, when is this air? Because it could be, it could change.
Things are changing quickly,
Yeah. I mean, generally, I think the fact that it's difficult to plan our, not only for our programs, but like our financial forecasting, for a nonprofit like Father Bill's in Mainspring, but also, you know, the city or the state, anyone who relies on any federal funding, and we do. We rely heavily on funding from
how much
HUD. From HUD, we receive about $1 million a month.
Okay.
And that is responsible for hundreds of housing units across our region. And we haven't lost. I don't believe we've actually like had to, you know, say, oh, well, we don't have this funding source. It's more like when our contracts come up later in the year, what's going to happen? Are they going to be held? Or, you know, the uncertainty really, and I think that's like cliche at this point, uncertainty, but that's the biggest source of stress, because you need to plan in order to like be effective in your you know, like the Housing Resource Center was always about being forward thinking and thinking in the long term, not in the short term, being proactive, not reactive. Well, when you don't know your financial outlook, it's hard to be proactive.
You can't sign, you know, a lease for apartments that you don't know if you can pay for, right? Essentially.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. Like any of us with our own, you know, rent or mortgage payments.
Right.
If all of a sudden we thought that like our income or a major appliance was going to break, or our car, we all deal with uncertainties. It's just, I think, with nonprofits and social services that have for so long relied on public funding.
Yeah.
It seems to be sort of a, at least talk of a seismic shift.
Yep.
And even the talk of a seismic shift can really, you know, it can really be unsettling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does, are there other sources of federal funding that you receive other than HUD?
Yeah, I mean, through, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's CDBG week.
Right, yes.
And we're very, very grateful to receive CDBG funds from the City of Quincy through its Community and Planning Development Department. It actually supports our veteran services at the Yawkey Housing Resource Center. So, but generally, like most of the federal funding is through HUD. There are a few different sources. But yeah, HUD is the main, like with the state, there's a few different agencies and departments that fund our services, primarily HLC or formerly DHCD. But HUD is the major funder for us.
Okay, and but even at the state level, there are questions because of the uncertainty. They, you know, because they don't know what's coming in, so they can't tell you. And I'm sure this will be one of the topics discussed at the Public Service Summit happening at the Four River Clubhouse, I think, on Thursday, right?
Thursday, yep.
Yeah. All the social service agencies, I've talked to folks at QCAP, they also are concerned, particularly about their Head Start program being impacted later this year. So again, like you say, uncertainty is the key word, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's difficult when you have a situation where not only is it your direct funding source, but like sort of your indirect funding source, where like the strength of federal support for the state will inform their decisions on, because we receive a lot of state funding, but they have their own budget challenges as well.
Right.
So we are really grateful. The House Ways and Means Committee came out with its budget last week, and we actually saw increases at the individual shelter line item, which funds all individual shelters across the state. There was an increase, which hasn't happened in years.
Okay.
And some of our other sources of funding in terms of housing vouchers, it was really promising to see those either remain flat, which in this day and age can be a good thing,
right?
Even though the cost of services have gone up and the cost of staff, or seeing increases. So we're appreciative of Speaker Mariano, and of course locally Representative Chan and Representative Ayers for, you know, helping us out there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know that this, the current administration on Beacon Hill, has made housing one of their key benchmarks, really, to achieve, you know, throughout their administration. So it's not lost on them that it is an issue.
Right. I think when you may be losing some federal support,
right,
you look at the areas where you think you might have to cut, but you also have to look at the areas where you might have to increase.
Have to support, right.
So
yeah,
if the economy is struggling, and you know, through a recession or just through tough times where nonprofits are losing resources, people in need of shelter or housing resources, that number is going to go up.
It's a catch 22, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you're right, the state has committed with the Affordable Homes Act,
yes,
which not only legalized ADUs mm-hmm. by right in single family residential districts, but really committed in writing to funding new housing for extremely low income, that 0 to 30%
sure.
AMI. And there was a whole new commission created by that law, and John Yaswinski's serving on that commission.
Oh, okay.
So we're just really heartened by the fact that our population has a seat at the table
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
on these big discussions about new housing development.
Absolutely, yeah. Will you be reaching out to your private funders as well, just to explain the situation more than anything, right?
Yeah. Our next, this is the HRCs in Brockton and Quincy
yep.
are, Brockton about to open. So we've actually ended that campaign, which I think you and I have been talking about for years
mm-hmm.
now, which is the private support.
Mm-hmm.
So over $10 million we raised in private funds for Yawkey and Quincy, Yawkey Housing Resource Center.
Yep.
And then in Brockton, we raised another $7
million. Wow.
So our next phase of the capital fundraising campaign will be focused on housing.
Okay.
Because really that's, how we address this crisis is by creating more housing opportunities.
That's right, yeah.
And with federal funding being uncertain, other funding sources are going to even be more critical.
Mm.
So that means, local businesses, foundations, and private donors.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Are you seeing, Pat, not too long ago a report came out about homelessness among young people, particularly public schools, even here in Quincy.
Yeah.
I forget what the actual statistic was, but maybe one in 10 or one in 8 public school students have experienced homelessness. Do you see that at the shelter as well?
Yeah, the state operates the family shelter system, so whereas at individual shelters, any adult 18 or over
yeah.
unaccompanied by a child can walk up to our doors and be eligible.
Yep.
And it's been well publicized in recent years with the influx at the state shelter system
mm.
that the state oversees that. So the referrals come to us from the state.
From the state, okay.
And absolutely there's been an increase.
Really?
I'd say we've increased our capacity by about 30 to 35 units.
Mm.
So we serve 160 families every night through emergency shelter.
Yeah.
But that doesn't tell the whole story because there are families every day reaching out to our prevention and diversion programs from families that are staying with friends or family, or they're about to become homeless
right.
and they're looking to avoid entering the shelter. And every one of those families coming to us through the state referrals, they are, there's children involved.
Children, right, yeah.
Some, high school age,
yes.
And then some as young as like infants.
Oh gosh.
So it's just, and sadly, over the past year and a half, for the first time in our really agency's history,
mm-hmm.
we've started to see in our region and hear reports of families staying outdoors, sleeping in cars,
mm.
And that is just unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have to sleep outside, but when you're talking about a child, and their development and their ability to feel secure and cared for is so instrumental in their long-term success. We as a city, state, society cannot accept that there are children that need to sleep outside.
Exactly, yeah. I know that before we started taping this morning, you said at least here in Quincy, at least, the number of unsheltered people, families, children is very, very low.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one thing that Quincy's shelter census has gone up, like I mentioned earlier,
yes.
180, 200 people in Quincy and the surrounding communities in need of shelter. That's a high number. But the number that we like to point to for a city of Quincy's size, over 100,000 residents, the unsheltered count has really always been low in Quincy, but especially over the last 10, 15 years, has been like single digits. The preliminary count for the 2025 point in time count, which was in late January, that was 6 individuals.
6, okay.
And that's not even just in Quincy. We do Quincy and Weymouth.
I see.
So that's split between the two communities. Now, obviously, we don't want anyone to be sleeping outside.
Of course, yeah.
But when we're seeing 24 people in Plymouth alone, sleeping
wow.
outdoors,
wow.
22 in Brockton, And now those are probably undercounts of people because we don't know every encampment. Mm-hmm. We don't know every location. We do the best we can. But the fact that Quincy is in single digits is something that, you know, the city should take pride in, you know, the fact that we have an overnight shelter, a resource center, and that we support housing, affordable housing. That's a big, and we have social services, interfaith, social services, Bay State, QCAP. We have such a robust social service community here. That's why we're seeing such a low unsheltered count.
Sure, yeah, people are doing good work on the grounds, right? Helping those folks out, you know.
And a caring community, because the donations come through and that helps us, you know, better maximize our resources. So that all starts with a caring community.
Sure. I always like to ask you when you're here, Pat, what do you need right now?
Well, we've talked about funding, so anyone who has the ability to give, we're always, you know, cash donations give us the most flexibility. Yep. We have the website, helpfbms.org. Okay. You can go to our donate page. Any bit you can give will help us out. And then we're always looking for volunteers.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes. In Quincy, we are in need of volunteer groups who want to come in and prepare and serve meals to our shelter guests.
Gotcha.
That's a high need right now.
Okay.
With our numbers going up and, you know, the costs of not only, you know, staffing the kitchen but also the food, we very much rely on our community to either donate the meals, bag lunches even, if a school class or, you know, a church group wants to do an activity on their site, they can do a bag lunch event. And that helps us divert our resources to the rehousing efforts, to building new housing, and all the stuff that's gonna have the best long-term impact for our participants.
Sure. Anything else we should share right now?
I think we covered it. We talked about CDBG week. Mm-hmm. You know,
any events coming up that we should let folks know about?
Oh boy, you know.
Will you be part of the Quincy 400 events at all this year?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
You know. Not that I know of.
Okay. Right.
So now if I'm wrong, we'll have to call and say, hey, can we correct that? But, you know, we in January, we held the ribbon cutting for the Brockton Housing Resource Center, even though it's not opened yet.
Right.
And then I guess our next event will probably be next year in terms of like a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
We're opening a new housing property in Stoughton, converting an old motel into 24 units of housing.
Okay.
So we have, since COVID, held like several supporter receptions, you know, which replaced our old Food Fest fundraiser.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
So,
yes.
You know, I think as the housing campaign kicks off, we'll probably be looking at opportunities to host receptions like that.
I see.
And I'll definitely call you.
Yes, please do.
When we start to promote those.
Great. All right. Always good to see you, Pat. Appreciate it.
Good to see you. Thank
you. Please come back.
All righty.
Thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.